Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to have a conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, it is Monday, the beginning of a brand new week. We're going to put everything that happened last week behind us. We're going to start with a fresh, clean slate. I'm talking tabula rasa, not bringing in the things of the past, only talking about what's happening right now. You have made it to the start of a new week, and I'm excited to be here with you to have a conversation about quite a few stories. So much is happening. Have you looked at the latest homicide numbers? We are now at 240. We are up from 41 people from last year at the same time. There was a shooting on Sunday night. It was the seventh shooting of the weekend since Saturday night. Folks, what we're talking about is we're talking about a city that is rapidly spiraling out of control. And this is not politique to say this. This is not polite radio. This is not just trying to figure out some solutions for a problem that's outside of ourselves. I'm saying there is something wrong in this city. I'm saying you're to blame. I'm saying I'm to blame. I'm saying the politicians to blame. I'm saying the corner boys are to blame. I'm saying the corner girls are to blame. I'm saying the teachers are to blame. I'm saying all of us must shoulder the burden and the responsibility for saving our city. This city is dying right now, and I'm holding all of us accountable, starting with myself. I am asking myself, what more could I have done this weekend? Did I speak into the lives of any young people? Did I make a way for them to do something different? Did I try to bring some light and goodness into somebody else's situation? What did I do to help someone along the way? Folks, as a Baltimore City resident, I have been for the last 17 years. I have this vision. I believe that when we get to heaven, and then when we get to the pearly gates, that I believe we're going to roll up and that St. Peter or St. Ida will be there. And they're going to ask us, what did you do to make Baltimore City a better place? Like, that's going to be your question before you roll up into the pearly gates. What are you going to say? What can you say that you did to make Baltimore City a better place? What can you say that you did to help somebody in Baltimore City along the way? What have you done? I say it all the time. I don't think anybody's coming to save us. Now, last I checked, no white horses have rolled up here. I haven't seen brothers roll up with as knights in shining armor and like full-length Cadillacs jumping out saying we're here to save the city. Nobody's coming to save us. But what is exciting and what is interesting and what is something that can fill us up and keep us going, we have the ability, we have the talent to save ourselves. When I see people, which I've seen this weekend, by the way, open up their car door and put a chicken box on the ground, because I saw it this weekend, driving along. And I was over near Chicken Bones place, people. I was going by Chicken Bones. I was thinking maybe I'll get some lake trout, because I was told by some folks on the radio that Chicken Bones has the best lake trout. I tried them for the chicken box competition. My sons did not rank them very high. But I thought I'd go and get me some lake trout from Chicken Bones this weekend. When I drove over to that community past the R House, I passed two cars, not one, two cars who opened up the door and set a chicken box on the ground. I said, you know, I am not stopping over here because I don't know what's going on. So, folks, when we talk about what we have done and what we are doing, I think we need to talk about holding ourselves and holding our fellow Baltimore City residents accountable. We cannot expect one person, one voted official, to change things for us. We can't. I mean, we can roll out Mayor Jack Young, just like we rolled out Mayor Catherine Pugh, healthy Holly notwithstanding. You can roll out Catherine Pugh. You can put Jack Young in, but what is changing the city? You can roll out Jack Young and put Brandon Scott in, and what's going to change in the city? I'm just trying to figure out, what are you trying to change in this city? Today we're talking about a city under siege. We're talking about a city that is trying to figure out its way forward. I'm talking about whether or not we need somebody to come in here and save us. Now, I know I say I don't believe anyone's coming, but folks, Scott Pressler, who is a person not of color, he's a Caucasian man from Virginia. He is a dog trainer turned Trump supporter slash activist. And when Donald Trump tweeted all those horrible things about us, he said we were rat and rodent infested. It was just horrible what Donald Trump said about Baltimore City. Scott Pressler decided to pack up his merry band. And he sent out a tweet asking people to volunteer to come with him to Baltimore to help to save our city by cleaning it up. Now, I reported on this when it happened, folks. So, I'm a pessimist with optimist leanings, but I didn't like the way it sounded. I didn't. I was not happy. And I'll be transparent. I'm just going to put it out there. I was not happy with how the image was going to be projected out to the world. Coming into a city that's predominantly black, coming into a place that I call my home, and that we need to have people not of color, people who are not residents, make a trip from their places. Now, understand, Virginia ain't that clean, right? So make a trip from where they live into Baltimore City to help us, because apparently we can't clean up our own communities. Apparently, we can't pick up our own trash. Apparently, we can't do it ourselves. And Scott Pressler came in, folks. He had a whole crew with them. Now, he said he did it under the radar, out of the goodness of his heart, right? But it was just kind of convenient that the media showed up as well. This story went viral of this knight in flag-lined boots, because he has these boots that have a city flag, an American flag on the side of them, showing up in Baltimore, and that it said things like Baltimore is cleaner because of Scott Pressler, that we should be just thankful that he heard our cries. He came in and he said that they picked up 12 tons of trash. Now, I want to make sure that you are hearing that. He rolled in here for one day with a crew. And he said they worked in the 7th District, which falls under Elijah Cummings, which falls under Councilman Leon Pinkett. He came into the 7th District and they picked up 12 tons of trash. Now, I didn't ask to see the receipts on that, so I don't know if it was 12 tons or 12 bags. But when I talked to him today, he told me 12 tons of trash. And he was only here from 9 a.m. or so to 6. Think of how much trash must have been outside. I also wanted to figure out how's he doing today, because Scott Pressler came back in today. We went and talked to him about 1:30. I'm going to play some of the interview for you. He said he's already picked up like 2 or 3 dumpsters full of trash. I was feeling some sort of way about it. I was. I'm like, okay, so now, So what's happening here? We got our own communities. We're struggling with some issues. And yet, the only way we seem to be able to get some movement is when folks like Scott Pressler come to town. Now, it didn't sit well with me that he's made it political. He argued that it's not political. But let's be clear. When you hold up a camera and you ask elderly black women to give their best to Trump, to thank Trump for cleaning up, for putting the word out to get your city cleaned up, how does it not become political? So in this first hour, I want to talk about Scott Pressler. I want to talk about what does it mean for someone else to come and save us. I want to talk about what you're willing to do to speak into what's happening in Baltimore City. Maybe I am just looking at it too negatively. Maybe I am. So tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, you know, maybe I just need to be thankful. Maybe challenge me. What have I done? I don't know the last time I went into the 7th District. I'm going to be clear. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent. I can say for a fact that I've never led a cleanup effort in the 7th District. I haven't. I've not picked up 12 tons of trash. I haven't. I try to work as much as I can. I try to contribute as much as I can. But maybe we need a Scott Presler to come in here. Because, I mean, it was apparent that there were people working today. And they were not only picking up trash. He brought a whole team of people with him. They were cutting the grass. They were pulling up the weeds on the sidewalk. And there were, and I asked him, I said, you know, what about the community? Have they connected with you? Well, he had a few community members there, but he was there working even though they weren't, which I thought said a lot. And it was actually a little painful for me. And it was painful. It was painful for me because I recognize the strength of our community. I know that we have the ability to do this. I know that we have the wherewithal to do this. I know we have the good sense to do this. I know that within the Black communities, we used to have, you know, block parties. We used to have cleanest block awards. We used to come out and sweep up and wipe up our front steps. I know that that is part of the legacy here in Baltimore City, and yet here we are. Scott Presler is coming back in October. He said he's going to keep coming back until Baltimore City gets cleaned up. And he's doing it, thankfully, as he said, because of Trump. Trump spread the word, and it moved his heart and the hearts of people all over this country to come and do humanitarian aid. I mean, that's what it is, here in Baltimore City to help us to get our trash out. We have a clip from Scott Presler. I want to play a little bit from the beginning, and we're going to play it throughout. We're going to talk about this. I want to hear from you. Maybe you disagree with me. So let's talk about that. I want to do that in the first hour. In the second hour, I want to talk about what's happening with the schools. There's been a lot going on with trying to draw new district lines. I want to talk about whether or not integration and desegregation are the same things. I pulled together a panel of a couple of parents that I want to ask about whether or not we should be talking about what Jemele Hill intimated and what others inferred from her article in the Atlantic. Should we really send our children, and I'm going to take it a step farther, maybe we need to send our children from K-12 and then on to college into schools that are on the same level with the same benefits, the same opportunities, the same resources, but they're in an environment with people that just look like them. I'm just wondering. I mean, what's happening with the schools? I mean, why not try something different? We'll talk about that in the second hour. And then finally, before I go to this clip, I just want to send out my heart, my prayers and my thoughts to a gentleman. When Justina and I were on our way over to the 7th District, there was a man laying in the street. And from what we were told, he was having a psychotic episode, a break. And so we were and are concerned about him. He was lying in the middle of the street. He was screaming and shaking. He was saying things like, let me die. But it just made me realize that we need to make sure that this city is putting more money towards services for people. We did call the police, as did others, but we were concerned and just want to send out our heart and our prayers and our thoughts out to him and out to the organization called HOPE, because he had come out of HOPE and he had a psychotic breakdown in the middle of the street. 410-319-8888. Let's take a listen to my interview with Scott Presler and get the show started.
Hey, for having me on this award-winning show today with Dr. K. And you know, President Trump's tweets did inspire me. And I heard all of this chatter. Everyone was doing a lot of talking, tweeting, Facebooking, but nobody was actually taking action. So I sent out one tweet. I said, hey, I'm gonna go to Baltimore, even if it's me standing on a street corner picking up trash. And I didn't realize it would take the nation by storm. And I didn't realize we would have people coming from all across the country to show the city of Baltimore we care and we love the city too. And so we came here on August 5th. We picked up 12 tons of trash in 12 hours. 12 tons of trash in 12 hours, and we made a promise. I promised Miss Louise, who lives here on this corner over here, I said, we're gonna come back, and that's what today is. I wanted to be a man of my word. I wanted to show that this wasn't a one-time stunt. This wasn't political. This is, we wanted to come back to the city of Baltimore to show we give a darn. And so far, we've already, I think one guy said we've already done 3 dumpsters. I may be wrong, but at least 2 dumpsters, and it's only after 1 o'clock right now, 2 o'clock. And so we're going to be here until 6 p.m. We're at the corner of North Fulton Avenue and Westwood. So anyone that's live, that's watching, if you're able to come after work, we still need more hands. We've got plenty of trash bags and gloves. So
let me ask you this. So that's just a little bit. We have a lot of the interview, and we're going to play it in pieces throughout the show. So 12 tons of trash. They're going to be out there till 6 p.m. He's calling on people to come help. What I think is interesting, and I want to throw this out, and somebody on Facebook Live has said as well, Josh Fry said, the bad part is that they're going back into the same areas that they cleaned up the last time they were here. I just want to make a note that we got to do something, folks, that there's something that needs to be done, because apparently it seems like we need somebody to come in here and save us. I just want to talk about it. 410-319-8880. I have Mac on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Mac, how are you?
Fine. How you feeling?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I really think that it's political, but I just want to make a statement. When I was a kid, 10, 11, 9, my father used to make us pick up trash not only in front of our house, but the two houses on both sides of us. And back then, you know, I was like, oh, man, you just mean. But it instilled something in me. But here in this city, and a lot of people probably going to get mad by me saying this, I have never seen so many black men on disability. Fraudulent, real. I mean, if it's real, it's real. But fraudulent. Let me rephrase that. Fraudulent disability.
Okay, I was like, wow, okay, fraud.
It is something inherent while we are in this state. I mean.
Okay, so let me go back. Here in Baltimore City, you've seen a number of brothers who are not disabled, but who have applied for and who are collecting disability.
It's tremendous. Okay. I mean, and the people, the audience, if they want to be real, they know I'm telling the truth. It is just ridiculous. But thank God for my father. That's the only
okay.
thing.
Okay, I hear you. So what do you think should be done? So here we have this issue in the city. And I think that these things, Mac, are all connected, right? So we got this issue going on with the trash, which is a big deal. But it also speaks to the state and the feel and the understanding of our community. If we can live in these situations, if this is what our reality is, how are we expecting our children to be able to see themselves beyond this?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, a lot of stuff is just home taught, like values. It's just home taught. But now in Baltimore, and I'll be almost 60. I've been here all my life. But the transition from having pride in yourself, having pride in your family, representing your family, to going, always trying to get over, always trying to beat the system. I mean, to me, it is all connected, Doctor. It is all connected. But like I said, I'm one of the lucky ones that had a father. So that's all I could say.
All right, I appreciate you. So, folks, I'm just going to put that out there. So, Max saying that all this is connected, from fathers in the household to the state of our community, that all of this is connected. And I think we need to kind of investigate that, because it seems like every time we have an issue, it comes back to, well, we don't have any fathers in the home, and that's why y'all can't pick up your trash. Come on now. We have met, let's see here, Maria on the phone. Hi, Marie. How are you?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, I just want to first off say that I love Baltimore. I'm not from here. I've only been here 1 year. But everyone, when they heard that I was living in Baltimore or coming to Baltimore, everyone was like, wow, Baltimore, why would you come here? And honestly, I have nothing but good things to say about Baltimore. However, the most striking thing I saw was the trash, and how people, black people, white people, doesn't matter who they were, young and old, were just same thing you described, opening the door and trashing things. And where I'm from, in the Virgin Islands, we also do have the issue, not as bad as Baltimore, but since that's my community, I always felt comfortable speaking to people about their trash. So
right.
I would politely ask them, hey, I'll ask them their name first, and I'll kind of, especially if it's a man, I would approach him as if I'm kind of hitting on him almost, and it would, you know, lower down his guard, and then I would talk to him about the trash, and then they will go and pick it up. And I do this for young people, old people, doesn't matter. And I've never had anyone cut me out and talk smack about me, you know? However, I didn't feel so comfortable doing that here in Baltimore, but I did with some of the young folks, and I was able to have them at least explain why they trashed the place, you know, and those kind of things. And I've always wanted in Baltimore to start cleaning up, particularly around, I think it's Wind Falls Trails, that area. But I don't know people enough to like organize. I'm not an organizer type of person. I'm a worker bee. And I did this a lot where I'm from, go around beaches and we will clean. And I taught in school, so my students would clean up. And so if there's anyone who's doing this kind of work or organizing this kind of stuff, if they can call you and put out that information.
Right. Well, he's out there now. He's out there now until 6 p.m.
Well, I don't know about.
Okay, no, he's out there. He said people come out.
No, I meant a Baltimorean doing it. I don't feel too comfortable about that either. I mean, I wouldn't want to knock his heart if he really does care. But my thing is, did he organize? Did he reach out to Baltimoreans to organize it alongside them? Did he reach out to organizations that may, you know, possibly work with the environment in Baltimore?
Yeah, so that's what we're working on. Thank you so much, Marie. Folks, okay, he reached out to DPW. They're going to work with him next time. But he reached out to Miss Lois. Miss Lois is an 81-year-old resident of the 7th District. I had the opportunity to sit down with her. Now, Scott Pressler references Miss Lois a lot. He said this is how he describes her. 4'10", 81-year-old black woman who's like a grandmother to me. That's how he describes her, folks. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But he also had Miss Lois. He profiled her in his video that he took. He had Miss Lois is the woman that he told as he put the video camera on her. He said, thank Mr. Trump for cleaning up your neighborhood, because Mr. Trump is the reason that I'm here. Folks, when we come back, we'll have a lot more clips from Scott Pressler, and we're going to talk about whether or not this is what we need. Maybe what we need is just to ask people from all over the country to come in and clean up our city for us. Terry, George, Donna, Trez, Abraham, DeAndre, don't go anywhere. I'm coming to you right after the break. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Wyatt. Folks, we're going to be bumping in all day with a little bit of Lauryn Hill. That is her song, Black Rage, because that perfectly describes and sums up how I am feeling at this moment. Because I get upset when I think about people coming in to do the work that we can do ourselves. We can actually begin to save ourselves. We can actually clean up our own neighborhoods. We can actually do this. We can actually be the ones we have been waiting for. We can. And I'm just wondering how we can help people to understand this in all the communities in this city. The song Black Rage, it says, Black Rage is founded on two-thirds a person, raping and beatings and suffering that worsens, black human packages tied up in strings. Black rage can come from all these kind of things. Black rage is founded on blatant denial, sweat economics, subsistence survival, deafening silence, and social control. Black rage is found in all forms in the soul. That is how I'm feeling when I think about this, the narrative that Baltimore will not get cleaned up unless someone else, someone who's not from here, someone who typically does not reflect the people that live here, comes in out of the goodness of their heart taking time from their schedule to come and save us. I also want to alert you, I'm checking in periodically with the Twitter page of ATF Baltimore. Please note, special agents are on the scene to assist the Baltimore police and the Baltimore fire partners with the investigation into a suspicious vehicle on 100 East Pratt Street. Folks, if you're in that area, they're asking you to stay clear of that area and also to avoid Lombard Street, Calvert Street, and Light Street downtown as investigations continue. There's a sense that the cars might be leaking something. We don't want to give you inaccurate information. So as we get the information, we will continue to update this story. Scott Pressler's here. Now, you may not know the name. To be honest, you know, he's a name that's only associated because of Trump and his tweets. Trump did the tweets. We are all familiar with them. Trump tweeted out everything about Baltimore City that he felt. He tweeted on July 27 that Cummings' district, talking about Elijah Cummings, was the most dangerous anywhere in the United States. Now, please note that is a lie because Cummings' district includes rural and suburban parts of Baltimore and Howard County, as well as parts of Baltimore City. These include some of the lowest crime and highest income zip codes in the country. And I'm reading from Luke Broadwater's piece in the Baltimore Sun. He said, Trump claimed that billions of dollars have been pumped into Baltimore over the years and that the money has been stolen or wasted. So Luke Broadwater checked into it and he said, records show that over the past 2 years, city government gets $380 million in federal aid, far less than $1 billion. And according to the federal website that tracks government spendings, the money goes to the residents of the district, including retirees who receive Social Security benefits, patients who use Medicare and Medicaid, military members who get government funding health care, universities that do research, and public school budgets, which we know is completely underfunded. Trump also claimed that Baltimore's numbers are the worst in the United States on the economy. Well, according to Luke Broadwater and the research he did, Baltimore's unemployment rate was 5.6 for June, which was higher than the state unemployment rate of 3.8%, but lower than other cities in the country. It was lower than McAllen, Texas, lower than Fresno, California, and lower than Yuma, Arizona. Now, I do want to note that Trump did claim that Baltimore was the most unsafe city in our country. Now, Baltimore has the highest homicide rate in the county for large cities with populations of more than 500,000. Like, that is the truth. We have the highest homicide rate in the county in the country. But many smaller jurisdictions, including St. Louis and East St. Louis, in Illinois, have higher murder rates. Baltimore doesn't even have the highest homicide rate in Maryland. Check this out. FBI data shows the highest murder rate in the state belongs to District Heights in PG County. How about that, folks? When we talk about Baltimore City, we don't have the highest murder rate, the highest homicide rate in Maryland. That belongs to District Heights in PG County. Now, do note, before you get on me, I am not celebrating homicide. I'm not celebrating murder. I'm just saying, if you look at all the violent crime, both Detroit and St. Louis have higher rates of violence, according to the FBI. So some of the things that Trump tweeted out were blatant lies, because that is what he does. But some of it might be a little truth in that. He was talking about being rat and rodent infested. He was alluding to all the trash. Well, it got Scott Pressler, a person not of color, dog walker turned Trump activist, got him stirred up down in Virginia, sent out a tweet saying, come help me clean up Baltimore City. Humanitarian work, folks, like Greenpeace. Come, let's do it in Baltimore City. And they rode into town, picked up 12 tons of trash, rode back out, thanked Trump, and now they're back today. And he needs your help because they've already picked up 2 to 3 dumpsters worth of trash. Here's my interview with Scott Pressler, and then I'm going straight to Terry from West Baltimore.
Well, and that's one thing I wanted to make clear to everyone that's watching, to some of you who may not be Baltimore residents, I want to make one thing very clear. The city of Baltimore, the residents really love their city. They do. And I understand how President Trump's comments may have been hurtful. And what people don't understand is that there's illegal dumping going on. It's not like the people here, like Miss Louise, are trashing the city. It's people from outside the city bringing trash in and then illegally dumping here at these abandoned buildings because they can get away with it because there's no deterrent factor to stop them. But no, I want to make it also clear that Miss 81-year-old Louise, yes, 81 years old, 4'10" tall, and she's out here picking up trash with us. So if she can do it, everybody can do it. Mr. Stewart, who's lived here his whole life, he's out picking up trash with us today. Miss Lisa, who was dog sitting the last time, she came back. So yes, the city of Baltimore residents are helping.
So that's Scott Presler. I was talking to him today. I went out to the 7th District to sit down with him as he laid out his plan for Baltimore City, that this is the work that we need to do. We need to clean our cities. Folks, I countered that. I was very clear saying we actually know what to do here. We actually know what needs to be done. We're actually aware that picking up the trash is our responsibility. Miss Lois, who he's talking about, cleans up the neighborhood all the time. And she was very frustrated. We're going to go to a clip of Miss Lois shortly because Miss Louise, she was very frustrated about the fact that people don't come out and help. And she was calling the politicians on the carpet saying, hey, you know, don't just walk through this part of town. Come and see what we're doing over here. Put some focus and attention and some love and care on this part of town as well. She's been living there a long time, and she's deeply committed to her community. We have Terry on the phone from West Baltimore. Terry, how are you? Hello, Terry. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. So I was just calling to say I was driving through West Baltimore, and I did see dump trucks and people out with brooms and shovels. And
oh, yes.
They were white people, and I happened to be I listened to you every day when I was sitting. I said, "Oh, that's what you were talking about." So I just called to say, "Yes, I did see it in West Baltimore."
How did it make you feel? Now, and people, you know, they tend to say I'm too negative, you know, and I'm trying to be positive. But I was just like, you know, come on, people, we can do this ourselves.
I will tell you that, and this is my experience as a young man. I was a student at Morgan. I graduated from Morgan, and one of the first houses I bought was in a neighborhood in Baltimore that was gentrified. You know, if you want to call it gentrifying, I saw it as an opportunity to get a cheap property that I could live in and let the housing values come up. And, of course, at the end of the day, make a profit if I decided to sell it. But I am, make no mistake about it, I am a Baltimore boy. And I joined the board of this community. So there were a lot of white people in the community. Although, you know, it was a mixed neighborhood. But the majority of people on the board were white. And they had investment in the community because some of them, they had bought houses, and they were like, we're making a stand. This is where we live. And so we would do things like we would have once a month cleanups. So we would all, we invite the whole community, and we would clean up. And then we also, some weekends, the Volunteers of America would come in, and we would clean and clean and clean, and dumpsters would come in. And the thing that was really disheartening and sad is that by the next day, oftentimes, all of that trash would be right back in the community. But it can be done, I think, through community organizations and organizing and, you know, just going out, getting hands dirty. It can be done. And as I said, I am a Baltimore boy and I love the city. I got married, right? I had a young family. The babies came along, kids, and my wife was like, you know what, we can't do this. So between the trash and the school system.
So that's why you moved out of Baltimore City.
Yeah.
Are you in the county area now? You're in this area?
I am. So we're still in the area, but it's like we waited. I'm like, where's the upside? You know?
Right. So you moved out. No, I understand. Thank you so much, sir. Folks,
absolutely.
Scott Presler said when he was here cleaning up, let me tell you what he picked up. He said that he picked up dead rats were outside in the backyards of the homes, tons of needles. He said, you know, but if you look in Baltimore City, in this part of Baltimore City, according to Scott Presler, and again, he's not telling us something we don't know, there are all these drug dealers, there's violence. He said that he is coming to help and that based upon his effort, He now has 329,000 followers because he's saying this is what we need. We need to show Baltimore some love. He's thinking about getting into politics because if he can do it here, this is what people are saying, if you can clean up that rat-infested place called Baltimore and help those people, then maybe you can do more. He's now on the speaking tour. He's been to 15 different cities talking about how Baltimore just needed love and attention from him and from people like him because apparently, and I'm adding this last part, the residents of Baltimore City can't do it themselves. That we need to, as he said, we need to thank God for Trump and apparently thank God for him. We have DeAndre from East Baltimore. How are you?
I'm doing well. How I feel about the situation, I feel as though the situation is more politics. I put together a plan already to clean the city up and have residents, you know, continue to keep the city clean. But it also has to go back to public works. I live in the city. I own a property in the city. I live in East Baltimore. I can come right out back with my backyard right now, and I can show you it's like 6-7 vacant homes behind my house. All of them in the backyard is full of trash. So it's probably like 10-12 dumpsters right now, the trash right now. I can take photos right now and send it to you. But when the trash men come through to clean up, you know, a lot of them, they dump the trash in the dump, whatever falls back in the alley on the ground, they leave it there.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
you know,
that.
So a lot of them, you know, it's not just just the citizens. It's also like Scott, like the guy said, people do come to these vacant homes because you have so many of them. But guess what? The majority of the vacant homes are owned by people who don't reside in Baltimore. They're owned by, you know, majority of these vacant homes in Baltimore City are owned by people who don't reside here. So, and people just come in and they dump trash. They're illegally dumped. So, you know, a lot of it is illegal dumping. A lot of it is, you know, Department of Public Works, trash crews not doing their job properly. And a lot of it is citizens. It's a three-part party. But it's also mismanagement because it's all part of one big system. It's all part of one big thing.
But let me ask you this, but what do we do about it? Is it that we wait for people like Scott Pressler? Folks, I mean, I'm not knocking his hustle. I'm just saying, like, we got to find a way to not just wait for Scott Pressler to show up before we clean up.
Yeah,
what do you think we can do?
I mean, I think for one, we need to get the vacant is the crime in Baltimore, the vacant city. We have over 40,000 vacants. So that's allowing a fester for people to come and dump trash. So once we handle the vacant problem and deal with the vacant issue, there won't be nowhere for folks to come and dump trash. But we have so many vacants everywhere. And I can guarantee you, if you fly by over some of these vacants with a drone, you can see how much trash that people have thrown in there. I mean, people just come and dump everywhere. And so that's, if we can get a handle on the vacant problem, because that's where majority of the trash is stored at, behind vacant homes and vacant lots and areas like that. That's where people do the most dumping at, and that's why it looks so crazy when it's piled up like that. If we can get a handle on the vacants, then we can get a handle on the trash problem.
Okay, thank you so much. So it's really about dealing with these vacant properties. Folks, there's a lot of, if you go over to the 7th District, I saw so many abandoned houses, boarded up houses. The trash they're picking up, I do want to know, it has accumulated from the last time. So he picked up 12 tons before. They're back cleaning up the same neighborhoods. He has a message for you. He says, keep your chin up, Baltimore, and take actions where others are only going to talk cheaply. I want you to actually put your words into actions. Let's take another listen to the interview. Hold on one second. Of course, I've seen a couple of volunteers with Make America Great Hat of
sure.
One, and that feels very political. But in your last Facebook post, the
yes.
one that you had when you were here, what I want to know is at the end of the post, and I believe this is you kind of videotaping the women, they were talking about how they were thanking you, but you had them thank Trump. Like, that makes it political. Like, Once you start thanking individual people instead of thanking residents of the city, that in a sense makes it political. So how do you reconcile that it's not political, but we're thanking the person who made the comments that had all of us spring into action that was very hurtful?
Sure. Well, I have to say, you know, I was inspired because of the tweet. You know, it was because of our president bringing attention to Baltimore that I think got the eyes of the nation on here. So there was good done from the tweet. I think he could have done a little better job of messaging it in a nicer way.
It's an understatement, but okay, I'll take that.
But it brought attention to a place that needed a little bit more love. And it got me here, and it got us to come back here in September, and we're going to come back in October. So I think it was important to recognize that if it weren't for the tweet, this wouldn't have happened.
So do know that he is a huge Trump supporter. He's very conservative. He's also trying to buy air conditioners for the schools. He's trying to get an air filtration system because, as he said, and this is the part that broke my heart, when he said, I found someone online who's willing to donate, you know, 20... you know, air conditioning units to the school. He said, we have to do something because these children can't wait if we don't do something to help them. And I was sitting there. That's the part when I started to get so upset. I'm like, we are doing something to help our children. 410-319-8888. George from Northwest, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you for calling.
Okay, good. I think I have about 3 points. One is that we need to make some changes, but it's not something that's going to take place overnight. For one thing, I think Baltimore City, if we could come back with the bottle and can law, where we put returns where people can get instant gratification if they return these bottles and cans,
okay.
If we just made it work for Baltimore City. My thinking was, if Mr. Trump turns around and says that our city is dirty and he was willing to help, Mr. Cummings should at least have a plan that he would present back to him to put it back into his corner to say, okay, this is my plan. I just need some funds to help get this thing established. Why can't we have it where if you live in Baltimore City, you have Baltimore City ID. Long as you bring a can back to any of those stores within the city, you'll get your 5 cents on it. We got to start some kind of way where the kids start small. It's not really about making money, but it's getting them in the habit of starting to pick up after themselves again. From there,
so that's one. Okay, so one, bring back the bottle return program.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
So I'm just writing your points down. You're saying bringing back bottle deposit is one way we can work on this.
Yes, one way of bringing it is doing that.
Okay.
The other point was that after all of this was going on, I don't think I heard any time on the news where Mr. Elijah Cummings had any plan to try to help deal with the trash and all. I didn't hear about any suggestion. Only thing, it was like no comment. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
I haven't heard anything either. And I know what came out shortly after. They said the two things were not, you know, related. But shortly after the whole thing with Donald Trump, our mayor did take a walk through that neighborhood. The video is available, but he does say things like, hey, in my community, we pick up the trash. But he was very frustrated walking and seeing the trash. And this is Mayor Jack Young.
Yeah, and I've seen that on the air when he was walking through, but that's something that's been going on constantly.
Yeah.
But we got to change the whole thought process because it didn't happen overnight.
No, it did not.
It's been going on for a long time where we just stopped doing things. Now they say, well, this bottle and can law won't work for the whole state of Maryland. Why can't we just do experimental for Baltimore City only? If you turn around and you say these stores are not going to make their money back. They can estimate how many cans of bottles they're selling each year so that they can figure out how much loss they're going to make and how much money they're going to make on people going back to the store.
Okay, so maybe that's the solution. I know you had a third one. I want to give you a chance to give you a third one before we go.
Oh, yeah, the third. Sorry, let me get on here. I'm sorry, I kind of messed it up.
No problem.
That was my main point was... that I didn't hear anything from Mr. Cummings. We do have a city that needs to be cleaned up, so it was good that it was brought back out, but we just need to start, and I don't care who helps us. Let's just get it going.
Okay.
And let's just get it going.
All right, I appreciate you, folks. I'm just putting that out. I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to find a way to reconcile two things, right? To hold two things at one time. That there's a part of me that's frustrated. I'm frustrated about the state of my city, from the 12 tons of trash that had to be picked up from outsiders to 240 homicides that we've had, 7 shootings from Saturday night to Sunday night, a 16-year-old being shot and killed along with a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old in the last couple of weeks. The fact that our babies had to go home from school at 67 schools last Tuesday, and there's a chance schools are going to close on, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, expecting some type of heat wave to hit the city. So I got all that frustration on one hand. And then on the other hand, we have this group of committed volunteers coming to do humanitarian aid less than 10 minutes from here because we can't clean up our own city. So they have to do their volunteer Greenpeace work and say, and you know, give us advice on what to do because we can't do it ourselves. I'm having a hard time holding both of these things. Like, I'm glad the community is getting cleaned up. I'm just wondering, when do we say that this one's on us? This one requires us to lean in. This one, in a city that's predominantly Black, in a neighborhood that's predominantly Black, this one is one for us. One for, and I don't mean just for Black folks. I mean one for us as Baltimore residents. Donna from downtown Baltimore, how are you?
That's okay.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Well, the dumping is the big problem. I worked for the state years ago. We had to put a sting operation because of the same dumping issues that was taking place. It was happening on state property. They fence it off, and then the dumpers would come and just dump it right around the fences. And this was in South Baltimore. So what they had to do was they worked with the city, and they had to get a special environmental control review group to actually do an undercover sting operation to find out where it was coming from. Most of the dumping comes from Anne Arundel County and Baltimore County, and they come from developers, contractors who don't want to pay the fee to go into the landfill, because they have to pay a fee and pay per ton and whatever by weight. They don't want to pay that. So they come, they drive into the city.
Wow, going the hauling the
same
fee.
Areas, right, same areas in South Baltimore. Then when they don't want to go there, some of them in Baltimore County, they'll come in. If they don't want to pay the fees in Baltimore County's landfill, right, or whatever, they'll come in the city, dump their load at night, and leave. So Baltimore City had an environmental control review board that actually did sting operations to curb, and it did slow down. They started catching them and fining them and putting them in jail and
so
whatever.
I'm going to put that down, Don. I know we had to take a hard break now. I'm going to have you hold on. But maybe we put that down, folks. We need to bring back that program. When we come back, Trez, Abraham, Tony, Leo Burrows, Omar, let's keep talking about it, and then we're going to spend some time talking about our schools as well. Stay with us.
And a good afternoon. In the downtown area of Baltimore, police activity has caused the closure of many streets around town, causing local and bus diversions, including the Silver Line, southbound diverting at Fayette and Charles, the northbound side diverting at Light and Conway, 54 southbound diverts at Fayette and Guilford, the northbound 54 diverting at Utah and Baltimore, the Express 120 diverting westbound at St. Paul and Fayette, the Yellow Line southbound diverting at Guilford and Fayette, the northbound Yellow diverting at Martin Luther King and Pratt Street. The light rail link with a 10 to 15 minute delay in both directions, the Metro subway link 10 to 15 minutes.